Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, this experience was so great to be able to respond to some conversations that you've started with me, both introspective about my own business and what I can think differently and how I can approach the business differently, but also to now respond to some new shocks that none of us have ever seen. I mean, we're combining three different years, 1918, 1968, and 2008, all this year, but to talk through it with your listeners and to talk through it through your framework has been extremely helpful. So thank you for being my mentor, and thank you for helping me think through these issues along with your clients.
Welcome to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. Barbara Winter is joining me today from Valencia, California, which is in Los Angeles County. We had our initial conversation about employee mindset versus entrepreneurial mindset and how we used to be as a society, we all knew entrepreneurs. As a society, we became more entrenched with training people to become employees by following a trajectory with their career and step ladders. And none of that is working to sustain us over the long term. And we need more entrepreneurial activity to really survive in our culture. In the first conversation, we were giving you some information about that. I've developed an entrepreneurial characteristics appraisal. It has 17 characteristics, which it's not really whether or not you identify exactly with a characteristic like a tolerant of risk, ambiguity, and uncertainty. It's more of the combination of skills that you have will help you understand more of how you can create your venture and build it in a successful way. And many entrepreneurs, it's so natural that they forget of the qualities that they're bringing into their venture. And if you're in that camp, why don't you call me and I'd like to give you the entrepreneurial characteristics appraisal. And we'll talk about how you can utilize that skill with your staff and with yourself going forward. Yes, there's a price with it, but I'll give you a discounted price. So in the first conversation, we had the employee mindset. We talked about that versus the entrepreneurial mindset. And Barbara shared some really interesting stories about her upbringing and her dad, who had a Winter Electric. He was an electrician and formulated his business, and how Barbara, she didn't talk a lot about it, but she became an educator in English, talked a little bit about how her career kind of, she found it a little confining. And so she started exploring ideas of how to build that out. And then in our second conversation, we talked about multiple profit centers, a phrase that she has coined in her book, Making a Living Without a Job. First in 1993, did an update in 2009 and added some stories in once the internet came about and social media built in. She's added stories to bring the concepts alive. And then today we're going to be talking about portfolios. So once you have a number of different ways you're generating income, it can be under one umbrella or separate umbrellas, depending upon, it could be seasonal and you have different names and totally different types of work that you do. Like a lot of compliments to those in the mowing the lawn industry is in the winter in the Midwest is shoveling snow. Or the example that Barbara had mentioned, what was that example yet? You mentioned several, Barbara.
The guy who does window washing.
Yes.
For businesses in the summertime and installs Christmas yard ornaments in the holiday season.
Yeah, and even has storage to keep people's ornaments, so he can get a storage fee for that. You know, so there are many different ways that you can carve out your livelihood in a very, very satisfying way. Barbara has shared a lot of different ways that she's done that for herself and has traveled the world and met all these incredible people. And so once you have these profit centers, she has the concept of how to develop a portfolio around each profit center. And so we're going to delve into that in a moment after I thank Sally Doyle, our regular podcast sponsor. Thanks, Sally. She's rebranded her company to Great Lakes Bookkeeping, which not only provides relief from the boring and tedious bookkeeping tasks, but she also uses the information that she gets from clients as a roadmap to advise owners of opportunities that can help their business. With over 20 years of experience and expertise, owners trust Sally to help them achieve their goals and dreams. And right now, you can reach her to get a profit analysis and put together different examples of cash flow projections. You know, what's the best case scenario? What's the least case scenario? What's the most likely case scenario? So that you can see how your multiple profit centers are going to come together and support your livelihood and others that you employ. Or if you don't employ them, that's fine too. It'll just, you know, support your livelihood. And if you've been a regular listener, you heard from Matt Clark, a vice president and relationship manager for U.S. Bank's Twin Cities Emerging Business Group, say that small business owners are not doing cash flow projections. And so it's critically important. Sally Doyle is here to do it. You can get a second opinion from your banker. They're there to help you, and they've got, you know, a lot of industry knowledge that would give you insight into all the different avenues that you need to explore in order for you to succeed during this really difficult time. You can reach Sally at 1-651-208-8151 and greatlakesbookkeeping.com. And today's guest, Barbara Winter, Barbara J. Winter, is a pioneering self-employment advocate, writer, and teacher who has spent the last 30 years pondering the question, why are we all self-employed? Helping others discover the joyfully jobless life is her favorite occupation. To readers of Winning Ways newsletter, the longest-running self-employment publication of its kind, she is editor and publisher. Readers of Making a Living Without a Job, a book that's been in print since 1993 and updated in 2009, know her as the author. Participants in Barbara's seminar of the same name, along with others, including Establish Yourself as an Expert and How to Support Your Wanderlust, know her as a passionate teacher. She's also leads retreats to help small business owners being creative thinking to bring creative thinking and fresh ideas into their work. She's convinced that small is still beautiful and loves working with one-person enterprises, also known as solo entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, and micro-businesses. Barbara's also an intrepid world traveler and curious long learner. When she isn't out exploring the world, she can be found blogging at joyfullyjobless.com, connecting with other entrepreneurs, or Facebook. She's on Facebook, or reading a really great book. So welcome, Barbara, for a third conversation. How are you this morning?
I am quite fine. I get to spend all this time talking to somebody who's as excited about the joyfully jobless journey as I am. And that's a treat.
Oh.
The only thing better would be if we were at the Good Earth restaurant having one of their delicious lunches at this time.
But yes. Well, I think that once you get your next book published, so you're in the process of publishing two new books, Still True, which is a new book of the wonderful stories that you have in your Winning Ways newsletter, which, yep, by the way, you can get for free when you connect with joyfullyjobless.com. Barbara, you can reach her there. And Becoming an Idea Detective. And so, you know, maybe once you get those published, we can meet at the Good Earth and I will buy a bunch of your books.
Okay. You got it.
Okay, baby cakes. I think we're ready for our conversation. So now that we've got, you know, some ideas for multiple profit centers, because we're retooling our businesses, many of them, some people listening are, you know, emerging into the field of entrepreneurship. So they're in their first 3 years, but others have been in business for a long time. So they're coming up with new ideas and processes and ways in which they're delivering their concepts to the public. So what can they do to take those profit centers and develop a portfolio? What do you mean by that? And what's included in it?
Well, I think of a portfolio as all the different kinds of things that we do in our businesses. And for some people, there is such a strong passion for a particular subject that everything they do, you know, kind of fits in that box. Other people have very diverse interests, and so their portfolio may be, you know, put together with all sorts of very diverse activities. And it depends on which kind of portfolio you're going to build. And I would like to suggest that most of us starting out do not know where that's going to take us. You know, we talked about that in the last hour just briefly. The business you start out with isn't the business you end up with. This is an evolutionary process. And so as things evolve, we see other options, other things that really get our attention that we have to make room for. And so in our portfolio, we're making changes all the time. And you know, this is something that I find is like the acid test if we're following our passion.
Yeah.
I remember when I was teaching high school English, in the fifth year of teaching, I had this moment of, I call it my horrible moment of truth, where I realized that I could predict with absolute certainty where I was going to be and what I was going to be doing hour by hour, week by week, month by month. That I was just having the same year over and over again, like Groundhog Day.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it was just terrifying to me. I mean, I was 5 years out of college, and I thought, I'm going to be working for decades. I can't keep this up. Yeah. I have to, you know, go elsewhere. And I ended up getting two more jobs after that. And it was interesting to me, and it didn't happen until, you know, in retrospect, that everything I had done really got me ready for being self-employed, that I brought little pieces with me, even from the jobs I had. So I think an acid test is, of if something belongs in our portfolio, Groundhog Day never happens. It's exciting every time.
Right.
You know, and I discovered that with teaching Making a Living Without a Job seminars. I, you know, at the beginning, if someone had told me I would be doing that for decades, I would have just laughed. I would have been like, no way. But I've discovered, even though I was teaching the same seminar over and over again, the morning of a seminar, I would wake up in a strange hotel, usually, or Airbnb place, and my first thought would be, somebody's life is going to change today.
Oh.
And I couldn't wait to get at it. I never, ever got tired of it. I never got tired of telling the same stories. It was amazing to me that that was a possibility. I assume that's the same for musicians. You know, I remember seeing Paul McCartney perform in St. Paul. And it was, and I remember the Star Tribune wrote the review the next day saying, there was a class reunion last night in St. Paul and Paul McCartney performed. And it was, there were times in during that concert where it almost looked like, oh, I just thought of this song. I'm going to sing it for you. you know, something we had all been hearing for 20 years. But the enthusiasm was still there. Yeah. I had, in that very same venue, a couple months earlier, seen Luciana Pavarotti, and it was obviously the most boring night of his life, and he was just phoning it all in. It was amazing, the contrast between the two.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of our acid test for if we're really following our passion, the work becomes more, not less interesting the longer we do it.
Well, and you avoid the horrible moment of truth.
Yeah.
That your moment of truth is that, wow, I'm going to change somebody's life today. I mean, that's a wonderful thing to wake up to.
It certainly is.
I'm glad that you shifted that when you got that message.
I want to tell you a little story, which I have written about a few times. But it's one of the more profound things that happened. My grandson, Zachary, who I'm pretty sure is the next Einstein, was probably about 8, and he had come here for a sleepover, and we were, it was bedtime, and we were having this little chat, and he said, let's talk about Halloween. I said, what do you want to talk about? He said, well, why don't we hang ghosts in the trees and then spray silly string in the bushes? And I was like, oh, so we talked about that a little bit. I said, okay, Zach, it's bedtime. We got to go turn the light off now. No, he said, I want to talk about ideas. And the moment he said that, I thought, I always want Grandma's house to be a safe place to talk about ideas.
Mm.
And so we did. We talked about some other ideas, and then eventually the lights went off and he went to sleep happy, I guess. But and he has been FaceTiming me now that he's at home. He has this big plan. He wants to go to Japan. He's decided. He's 12 now, I think. And he has some reason I can't quite understand that he wants to study the culture there. And then he calls a couple of days later. He says, I got this idea. I'm going to bake cookies and sell them to make money to buy my airplane ticket to go to Japan. I love that. That is so entrepreneurial. And it's so different than non-entrepreneurial thinking, where it's like, oh, I want to do that, but I don't have the money. An entrepreneur decides first what they want to do, and then they figure out how to make it happen.
Right. And then the concept of, you know, do what you love and the money will follow. There's been kind of a backlash lately on that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand it.
I think it's the language of that.
Okay.
And not what the process actually is. But an entrepreneur, and I see that happening with people that I've worked with all the time, where they'll decide there's something that they really want to add or something they want to do, some experience they want to have, and then they figure out how they will generate the finances to make that happen. That's
right.
A pretty powerful place to be in.
Absolutely. It's the most liberating place to be in, I think. It certainly is. Yeah, because then it's like, oh my gosh, this can maybe happen.
Yeah.
Or that's how I started the podcast. We were out west on a trip to Yellowstone, and I had worked in the Grand Teton National Park, decades ago. And I wanted to show my daughter and my husband, hey, these are my old stomping grounds. Of course, it looks totally different, and in my campsite area that I was in charge in is no longer there.
Right.
But during the process, I had been looking for a platform where I could do teaching, but there were so many things that were cost prohibitive if you're self-funding. And so we got in the northwest corner of Nebraska, and Matthew had downloaded a bunch of podcasts, and we listened to Krista Tippett on Being because the radios weren't working. And so the podcast, once you have it downloaded, you can plug it in and it works.
Right.
And it was the most wonderful experience to have in your car when you're out in the, you know, in a really mm-hmm. remote area traveling for hours at a time. It's kind of like the book on tapes type experience.
Right.
And I thought, oh my gosh, this is it. So when we got back, I did the research. I'm like, oh my gosh, WordPress has a template out, the first one of its kind for podcasters. Oh my God, I'm in, you know? And so from there, and I was just thinking the other day, you know, had Mike and I not started this podcast in 2016, or I mean, just before the pandemic, I wouldn't be in business. Mm-hmm. I would not have been in business. And so I'm like, wow, you know, things that you start at different times that are really like, you have to do this. And there's been a number of times that we were rethinking whether we should continue, but because it takes a lot to produce, but the passion for it, Mike and I still have, and we just really keep working no matter what glitch comes up. We fix the problem that we've never not aired a show on a Monday.
Wow.
And so that just goes to show that we're kind of in the right sweet spot.
Yep.
And then we needed to make the other things work. You know, the financial part has taken longer, but it's there now. And so anyways, it's just interesting, you know, how when you put these, or it always reminds me of like Oprah Winfrey when she said when she had her show, the Oprah Winfrey show, on regular channel TV, and you could listen to it every day and watch her. And she said she always gets such a kick out of idea that she comes up with for a show that she can actually like do it, make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that always created like extra energy for her. And I feel the same way. Like I'm excited about the next conversation I can have with someone.
Right.
So the portfolio itself, when I get that, I get an image in my mind of like one of those folders that are accordion-like, you know, where they pull apart and you have many different slots, or they can be alphabetized or not, to put some of your ideas and your diverse interests in. What are some other things that would go in a portfolio?
Well, let me tell you how I manage mine.
Okay.
Because I think this is an important part of the process. I have 5 different profit centers in my portfolio. And so I assign a different day of the week to each of them. And I treat whatever one I'm working on as if it's the only one. So today, when I am talking to you, Monday is events day. So I am not writing my mind isn't going off to the next chapter of my book I should be working on. That won't happen until Thursday, which is literary day for me. So then that will get my full attention. And the same thing is true if we have, you know, diverse things in our portfolio. We can assign different times to work on them. And sometimes one will kind of take over and we need to give it our full attention for, you know, a longer period of time. It just depends. But it also is, you know, it's a way to exercise our brains in different sorts of ways. It's really powerful.
Yeah,
and it also keeps idea generation coming. And I think it also gives us confidence as we build more options. We realize that when we encounter, well, none of us could have realized what we are encountering right now. We've never dealt with this before. But people who have been really self-reliant are getting through this a lot more easily than people who have been real dependent on other people providing for them.
Yeah. And for those who are working in small businesses, I mean, that's where you also get, you're closer to the entity. So like you get the information you need about the direction that the business is going, more so than if you're in a larger corporation where that's a lot more unnerving.
Right.
Because you don't know, you don't have a pulse exactly because you're not hearing it from those, always in leadership roles unless you're part of that team. But having a way in which you can become self-reliant in some avenue, a aspect of your life is really important, I think, to augment the others. One of the concepts with multiple profit centers is also sorting out the cash. Like, you know, this kind of work, like for me, it's one-on-one consulting that brings in, you know, a large chunk of the cash flow. And then I've got these other things like the podcast sponsorship and other labs that I'm trying out and other products that I'm developing that will be, people can get those products at any time that they want.
Right.
So, you know, having different revenue streams and having them, that's what I try to figure out in my portfolio is, now how will this add to the overall ease of the cash that's coming in? Because I have, I want to relieve some of the pressure because it's so constant. It's like it's always there. And with a daughter, you know, in college now, it's like we need access to a lot more cash quickly. And so, you know, having different ways in which you have your profit centers worked out, it just makes me feel a little bit more confident about, like you're saying, you know, you get more confident. The portfolio gives you a framework. And I like the way you not only name your projects and your profit centers, but you also name the days of the week.
Yeah.
That you're working on those projects.
Yeah. And I have a good sense of how my energy changes. You know, and we talked about this in one of our earlier conversations about people become very conscious of when they are have the most energy during the day. And it's almost never 9 to 5 for people. Some people really get up, you know, at the crack of dawn and get a lot done in the morning, and then afternoons they kind of do other stuff.
Well, that's the other thing too, is when COVID hit, everything got canceled. So I'm like, oh my gosh, all of us started sleeping later.
Yeah.
You know, it totally...
It made a lot of changes.
Yeah. And I just felt like we're all more rested now because our pace isn't non-human. We are taking charge now of our humanness. And when we're, you know, extending the things that we're doing, we're more cognizant, at least I am, of what I'm doing with my energy and how much I need to replenish it.
Right. Yes, I think that is that we when we realize that's really what taking care of the boss is all about, we realize how we are the biggest asset to our business and we really need to take good care. And so the idea of entrepreneurs just, you know, working 20 hours a day nonstop. And yeah, there are people who are driven and who still do that even when they're running their own business until they burn themselves out. But it's, you know, more and more people who really are more self-aware are really into how they can get the results they want and care for themselves in the best possible way.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm. And it's tricky. You know, some days you just do better than others.
That's right. And I give myself permission, especially during this time and being in isolation as I am. There are days when the energy to create isn't there. And it's like, that's okay, Barbara. That's fine.
Yeah. So have you been calling more people or you've been on Zoom more?
Been on Zoom more, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so how are you making sure that you're getting the people connection that you need at this time?
That's probably the biggest way is Zooming. FaceTiming with my family also.
Okay.
And we had a Mother's Day celebration. My condo is on the second floor with outside stairs. And our Mother's Day celebration this year had my family on the stairs and me on my balcony. And it was a little unusual. And I was very sorry after it was over. I forgot to take a picture of it because I'm hoping that's the only time we ever have a party that way.
Yeah.
But that's what we did. But that's why I think probably the idea for the brainstorming sessions, which I do on Zoom, came to me. And it's been a wonderful way to connect with people I've never met before also. And it's just been, and talk about creative things. That's, you know, right up there with one of my favorite things to do.
Well, and we're all now going through this in whatever country, you know, a person is living in. So we've got like a common conversation, a way to start the conversation and see what other people are experiencing with this around the world.
Right.
Well, this has been delightful. So you've got your brainstorming sessions, and I encourage, you know, while you're listening to this, to go to joyfullyjobless.com and connect with Barbara and set up a 60-minute, it's only $49, introductory offer. Barbara is generous with her connection with you. And so she will make sure that, you know, you're leaving with what you hope you can gather and more from the conversation with her.
Not only that, they also, you know, I tell them, feel free, if it's 6 months from now and you have a question, email me.
Yeah.
So it's like once you're on my radar, you are I'm available to help you in the future too.
Wonderful. It's very sweet. Well, this has just been, you've made my Monday.
Why, thank you. There's one more thing I want to say about the multiple profit centers and portfolio idea.
Yeah.
Just kind of quickly, is if you have things, if your portfolio is all very related, let's say you're a photographer and you do weddings and pet photography, you can promote your, you know, an umbrella for your business, have a single name and a single business card and that sort of thing. If you have very diverse things, however, you need to create separate personalities for them, separate names, maybe separate websites. Otherwise, it's too confusing to your potential customers. And you know, if you do very different things, the same people will not come to you for the same reasons.
Yeah,
so
your audience, who your target market is, it might be different.
Right. And so you might have different names and, you know, three different business cards with different names, same email address or whatever.
Yeah. I wouldn't have more than three. I knew someone who had like seven different.
I've heard stories like that too.
Yeah, and I had said to the person, you know, it takes a lot of energy to just do one really well. And cutting back, because their thinking was that he used to be a project manager. So he was used to multiple projects, but projects are not businesses.
No.
And so you can have multiple businesses with lots of different projects underneath it. And so his thinking was, you know, when I go networking, I want that person to pick one of the things that they want me to do with them. So every person I meet is going to do business with me. But it happened like it was just the opposite. Like everybody was so overwhelmed, like he was trying to sell you on something and it just came across as even desperate.
Yeah,
you know, and unfocused. But anyways, it was just, I'm surprised with how people think about things, you know, in their life. You know, it's amazing the creativity around that.
Yep.
So anyways, it's been just a delight. And thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And I'm glad it sounds like you're doing really well during this really challenging time.
You know, I have to tell you, I haven't mentioned this. I have this project that I've been working on that is not a profit center that has brought me so much joy. I'll keep this short, but essentially what I started doing was crocheting scarves that I send to my cousin in Minneapolis, who gives them to charities that give things to homeless people.
Wonderful.
And I have never had, well, it's not unlike writing. You know, when you write, it goes out in the world and you don't know where it lands. And I often think, I'm never going to meet the owner of this scarf, mm-hmm. but I just can't stop. I'm just almost at number 400 now.
Oh, my word.
Well, I've been doing it for a couple of years, but this is the first time I've done it in the summertime. I usually don't work on them when it's so hot.
Yeah.
But because I have this bonus time, I have been really, I remember, I mean, before we were on lockdown, I was in Michael's one day, and this person who worked there was in the back of the store, and she saw me and she says, "Oh, coming for more yarn?" And I thought, "Oh my God, I've known as the yarn lady."
Yeah.
They recognize me.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, now you're going to need a storage facility for all the scarves.
I have a mountain of them in my bedroom right now. And I told my cousin, I think we have to rent a U-Haul to drive them there this year because I'm trying to imagine how we're going to get them boxed up and shipped to her. It's almost time to send them.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, interesting problem
so,
to have.
It's just been so satisfying.
Yeah. Knowing
project.
That you're doing, well, this is the joy part, right? This is different. This is the essence of joy is doing something that will bring someone else joy.
Exactly.
And so it raises your ability to have joy and experience joy in your life. Wonderful. Great.
It is. It's been a really, you know, and it was just came as such a surprise. I had seen a picture on the internet of someone who was making scarves and putting them in parks with a sign that said, "I'm not lost. If you need me, take me." And I loved that. And I was on my way to Phoenix with a friend and I said, "I would love to do that, but you know, in Valencia, we don't wear scarves in the winter. It doesn't get cold here."
Yeah.
And she was from Sacramento, and she said, "Well, you know, it does get cold in Sacramento in the winter, and my church has a homeless mission, and they have 18 beds at church, and homeless people come and spend the night there and have breakfast and stuff." She said, "We'd take some scarves," and that's how it all started.
Oh.
And then I just couldn't stop.
Okay, so. That's one of those, when you finished them, you decided, I'm going to keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah.
So,
well,
and
terrific.
You know, and I always think, too, when I go into anything at all, when it stops being fun, I'm done.
Exactly.
And it hasn't even come close to stopping to be fun. I never go, "Oh, no, I got to crochet again." No, that never has happened.
Yeah. That's wonderful. So we're doing like a Minnesota goodbye. You know, you say it like several times.
That's right.
Well, thanks again. It's been a delight. And thanks. Thank you, listeners. There's one person listening at a time. Thank you so much for tuning in to our wonderful conversation. And I hope that you're able to experience some joy through the listening as well and some ideas about your portfolio for your multiple profit centers. And Mike Abea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frere, brother from another mother. Thank you. And we'll see. And thanks, Sally, for her regular sponsorship. And we'll see you all next week. Do you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to evolve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our We Mentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through wementor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a We Mentor Mini Lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in We Mentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out wementor.com. You can email me, Nancy, at wementor.com, or call me, 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.